Amen. I want you to do something. I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. Oh, the goodness of God. Has it been good to you? Yes or no?
Yes.
I want you, let's just take a moment and just thank Him for His goodness in your life. Maybe one particular thing. But while we do that, people have been worshiping this morning. Some people express it vocally. Some people wave their hands. But I'm going to ask you to do this. The Bible said we ought to pray sometime lifting holy hands. So I'd like for you, you can lift both hands or one hand while nobody's looking but the Lord, and just thank Him for something good or for everything good that He's done in your life. Our Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning with grateful hearts. God, I'm thankful for all You've done for me and my family. Your goodness is beyond description and way more than I ever deserved. And I thank You for it. Thank You, God, for the call into the ministry and the days You've allowed me to preach. Lord, for the health You've given me to continue. And God, I thank You for all that You've done. We bless Your name now. Speak to our hearts, and we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you this morning. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 5. We are talking in these few weeks together about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Anything that's happened here in this ministry of this church in over 100 years that is worthwhile and eternal, God has done it. God has made us. God fashioned us. God's led us. God's provided for us. Are we not on? 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Good? All righty. Thank the Lord. God bless you for being here again. Isn't God good to you? Amen. How many gods are there? One God. There's only one God. And I thank the Lord for Him. Everybody else is a little g god. And they are no real gods. The Lord said, I am God and there's none else. That means zero, naught, nothing, none other. God. He's the only God there is. The Bible does describe Satan as the god of this world, but it has nothing to do with the magnitude of a holy, sovereign God that we worship, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And as I shared with you many years ago, as I began to think about that, I go through the Bible, I had heroes. I had godly men that were my heroes, still are, that loved God, walked with God, that I knew personally. And then to study in history about men like Charles Spurgeon and D.L. Moody and all the great men of days gone by and how God used them. They were the hall of fame of faith. But the truth of the matter is, it was God working through them. They were instruments in the hand of a holy God. And they changed. Moses, my servant, is dead, he told Joshua. People pass off the scene. Brother Barry, man, listen, you missed Sunday school this morning in the auditorium. You missed God, the Holy Ghost showing up. Barry got down here on his knees and just rejoicing that one of these days he's going to leave out of here. But he won't be dead. The Bible said, he that liveth and believeth in God shall never die. Never die. If you're saved by the grace of God, you don't die. Your body will quit functioning. Your heart will quit beating. Your eyes, you'll have no electronic pulses in your brain or waves or anything else. But my dear friend, you'll never die. You just simply leave this vessel behind and go to be with the Lord for all eternity. We want to look this morning at another one of God's men, but it was the God that I want to look at this morning. Last week, we looked at the God of Adam. He's the God of creation. He made everything. And I do appreciate all the genius of days gone by. I appreciate indoor plumbing. How many of you love that? Amen. You got to have gray hair to appreciate that in a real way, praise God. And if you have a hurricane, you lose power, you can know a little bit about it. But my dear friend, I thank God for all the technologies and the internet and all those things. But everything that man has ever made, he made from things that are. And God made everything, the Bible says, out of things that cannot be seen. Out of everything. He made everything out of nothing. And boy, just a little simple statement in the book of Job. It says, he hung the earth on nothingness. You think about this. Have you ever picked up a 5-gallon bucket of dirt? Go home and try it. fill up a 5-gallon bucket, and then think about the mass of this earth, and take that 5-gallon bucket and hold it up over your head and turn it loose. It'll fall quickly and violently to the floor. And God fashioned this whole earth and stuck it right where we are right now in our orbit and hung it on nothing. We are just floating around in the air. Why is that? Because there's a sovereign God. There's a God who did that. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Israel. The God of Paul. The God of those of you who know the Lord Jesus Christ. This God is our God forever and forever, the Bible said. Look with me, please. I'll read just quickly a few passages of scriptures in the Old Testament, chapter number 5. And look at verse number 21 and listen to what it says. And Enoch lived 605 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, I want to read my text, and then I will just refer to them and don't go back. Turn over to the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, I want to read a passage of scriptures in Hebrews chapter number 11, just one verse. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 5. And listen to what it says. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God translated him. For before his transition, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. Now, I want you to notice the first two words of verse 5. By faith, by faith. Now look at verse number 6, right below that verse where it says that God took him and he had this testimony, pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, meaning God. Faith pleases God. Turn over to the little book of Jude. Find the book of Revelation and go backwards. If you find the book of Revelation, you'll find the little book of Jude. No chapters, just verses. And in Jude, verse number 14. Jude, verse number 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walkers after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. Leave off the reading there. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray God now you'd help me to reveal to us the God of Enoch. I pray God that you'd help us to understand that there's one God. He is the God of Abraham. He's the God of Jacob. He's the God of Israel. He's the God of Adam. He's the God of Enoch. And we need to know you and know about you and to know God and to make him known is our mission. I pray now the Holy Ghost of God will breathe here. I bow before you and confess, Lord, there's no good thing in me. God, we need the Holy Ghost of God. Thank you for the choir. Thank you for the special music and congregation. And God, speak to my heart now and the heart of these friends, and I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's a unique individual. He's the seventh from Adam, and he's one of the few men before the flood that we know anything at all about. It mentions names, but nothing much about their life. It does mention that there was a time that one by the name of Enos was born, and after that, men began to cry out unto the Lord. There's not much mention of relationship with God other than from Adam all the way to Enoch. Enoch, in the Word of God, is one of two men that it says they walk with God. Out of all the Bible, just two, it makes this statement, they walk with God, and Enoch is one of those men. Also, he's one of the only two men in the Old Testament that went to heaven and did not die. He's unique. He's a unique man.
And here's an amazing fact. He's only one of two people in the Bible that it said they pleased God. And we read where it said, and he pleased God. One is a man by the name of Enoch, and the other is the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. A little name, a little known name perhaps, Enoch, but the God of Enoch is our God. And what can we learn about this God of Enoch? And I'll give this to you quickly this morning and pray that God pierce our heart. The God of Enoch is the God with whom men can walk. What a unique relationship. In the book of Amos, it said, how can two walk together except they agree? After the translation of Enoch, he was blessed to have a son at age of 65. His name is called Methuselah. He's the oldest living man in recorded history. He lived longer than anybody else. Enoch's son was named Methuselah. And it means, after me, the deluge. God revealed something to a man named Enoch that caused him to know that there was coming worldwide destruction. He had no Bible. He had no church. He had no church friends. He walked with God. As a matter of fact, a few years later, some time later, when Noah was born, and we'll study about the God of Noah. It said this, every thought, every imagination was man, only evil continually. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Out of all the human population, there was one man that said found grace. And because of him, his wife and children were allowed to go into the ark and to be saved from the flood. Everything else in whose nostrils the breath of life died. But keep in mind, we're talking about people that didn't have the support system we have. They didn't have a Bible. And yet Enoch walked with God. What does it imply? Number one, it implies reconciliation. To reconcile means to be made right, to set right. God's perfect. He's perfect in every way. And so if there's a reconciliation that takes place between man and God, it's not God that changes. Man has to get right with God. Amen. They prayed in the New Testament that they would be reconciled to God. Reconciled to God. It's kind of like if you have a timepiece and it's the major timekeeping instrument in all the whole world. Every other clock, every other watch has to be reconciled to that time for it to be correct. Its gauge is that one piece. And Jesus Christ, God, is the perfect one. We have to be reconciled to Him. And somehow or another, Enoch was reconciled to God. It doesn't say that about anybody else up to that point in time. Only statement made in any kind of religious overtone is that then men began to cry on the name of the Lord. How did he get reconciled to God? How did he come to where he could walk with God? Because you can't walk with God. How can two walk together except they agree? He did it by faith. By faith. He believed in God by faith, and he was reconciled. And God did beforehand preach the gospel to Abraham, and he was justified by faith. And anybody who gets saved today at Benson Grove Baptist Church or anywhere else around the world can only get saved by faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And so this walk that he had came about because of his faith. Can I say something to you? A sinful world did not keep him from walking with God. You're living in dark days. I agree with that. We're living in days of tremendous satanic attack. I agree with that. We're living in a day of corrupted religious system. I agree with that. But God holds us accountable, not for what everybody else does, but for what we do. And Enoch walked with God, and the wicked world he was living in could not keep him from pleasing God and walking faithfully before God. It also indicates that they have a common nature. When you get saved, God gives you a brand new nature. To walk with God means that you walk where He walks. You don't get God to go where you're going, you go where He goes. And so it indicates a surrendered will. He pleased God by his faith, by his walking and doing what God wanted him to do, and doing the will of God. And thank the Lord for that. The God of Enoch is a God with whom you can walk. And oh, listen, the blessed benefits of walking with God and being close to Him. You have no fear. You have no desire, any wants. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not suffer any lack of provision. You see, you have in God, when you walk with Him, His protection. If you feel comfortable, if you've got somebody with you that is perhaps stronger than you are, or that's armed better than you are, and if you're walking with God, you think about protection. You're under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. And Enoch walked with God. And in 2025, you can walk with God. You can fellowship with Him. And it not only means that reconciliation and that like nature and that surrendered will, but it also means communication. You're able to talk with Him. Just to walk with Him and talk with Him along life's narrow way, to be able to communicate with Him and to know this, Jesus walked with the Father. He was in the Father's will. He came to do the Father's will. And He made this statement, I know that you always hear me. And if you're walking with God, He hears you. But He speaks to you as well. God spoke to Enoch. And He gave his son's name Methuselah, after me the deluge. He looked down and saw the judgment of God coming on this world. But beyond that, in the book of Jude, he looked down through time and saw what was going to happen in the end of the age. Now, I don't know if you got any idea or not, but before you ever got saved, some of you heard Bible stories. You heard about the rapture of the church. You heard about the tribulation period. You heard about Antichrist. Some of you have no religious background whatsoever. And everything you see and everything you've heard is brand new to you. But can you imagine a man who has no support system, has no Bible, has no preacher, has no prophet around him, and he walks with God? He's exercised faith and he pleases God? Wow, that's just amazing, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. But it reminds me of this one thing. God does bless us as a body of believers corporately. He did say, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. But when it comes down to it, every individual has a personal relationship with God. And you've got to have that. Joining a group of people will not make you a Christian. Joining Benson Grove Baptist Church will not make you a Christian. You have to believe personally, individually, on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are an assembly of believers. We were believers and God added us to this body. Enoch walked with God, the Bible said, and you and I can walk with God and we can walk right with Him. And oh, so many blessed benefits. I won't take time to share all those with you. I won't just give you a few more things just real quickly. What does it mean? What do we learn from the God of Enoch? He is the God that's pleased by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He goes on in that book of Hebrews and he says this, he that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If you walk with God, you have faith in Him, but more than just faith for salvation or reconciliation, you have faith believing that God can do anything. He can do anything. With God, nothing is impossible. I believe God can. And God puts that in our heart. If you're walking with Him, it pleases God. Notice something else. He's a God who will keep you from judgment. God had prepared to destroy the world. It was some years after Enoch was translated, but God took him out. He never saw death. He went into heaven where the Lord was at. And then several years later, during the days of Noah, everything in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. He can deliver you from coming judgment. And promise you, my dear friend, it's coming on this nation. It's coming around the world. But according to 1 Thessalonians, because we got saved, God has delivered us from the wrath to come. My dear friend, there are dark days ahead for this nation and for this world. But if you know Jesus Christ, He is the God who can deliver you from coming destruction. He is the God who empowers His prophets and His people. Enoch had the power of God on him. He pleased God by his faith, but he had strength and power from God to stand alone in a wicked world. How is it that Daniel could face the lion's den, those Hebrew children to go in the fiery furnace? They trusted God, and God gave them power. God gave them strength. Listen, he said, you're to worship the Lord your God, and him only shalt thou serve, but God will give you power to do that. He can deliver you from things to come, from the destruction to come. It all comes by walking with God. It is possible for you to walk with God, to have sweet communion with Him, provision from Him, protection from Him, and to please Him. You think about the magnitude of things you do, the number of things you do. You got to do so many of this and so much of that, so much of the other to please God. No, there's one thing that pleases Him, faith. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But if you have faith in Him and trust Him with all your heart, it pleases Him, pleases Him. I would say to you this morning that more than anything else, perhaps, if you, unless you're not saved, if you're saved, the most important thing is you get saved as soon as you can. Right now would be a good time. But for those of us who are saved, the most important thing we can do in 2025 is to learn to walk with God. If you do that, you can't live with sin in your life. He has no fellowship with darkness. You have to be clean. Enoch evidently was able to live a clean life in an unclean world. And you can live a clean life in an unclean world, in your heart and your mind, by walking with the Lord in faith, trusting Him and living for Him. Several years ago, our good friend, Brother Avery Rogers, was killed tragically in a car wreck. I say tragically, it was God's will, I'm sure. God took him home. He was 80-something years old. He was leaving Arkansas, where he'd been in a camp meeting. He was actually heading to Brother Ralph Sexton's up in Asheville when Ralph Sr. was pastor there. I got a call from his dear wife way early in the morning. And I knew he was in Arkansas, but also knew he was leaving there and coming to North Carolina. And early in the morning, I got a phone call, and it was Ollie Rogers. His wife's name was Ollie. And she said, "Brother Billy," and I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Avery's at home." And I thought, I thought he was coming to North Carolina first. I said, "Ma'am." She said, "Avery has just got killed in a car wreck. They just called me and told me." I said, "Oh, Ms. Rogers, I'm so sorry." And I prayed with her on the phone. I went and got back in bed and told Regina what had happened. Avery was a man that I could talk to about anything in the world. And I got back up and I prayed. I said, "Oh, God, Avery loved me and he listened to me. I could tell him anything, confess to anything. He wouldn't criticize me. He wouldn't agree with me if I'd done something wrong. He'd lovingly tell me what I did wrong." But I knew he wasn't going to use me as a sermon illustration down the road and tell everybody what I said. And Lord, I don't know if I got anybody I could depend on like that. And he said, "You can depend on me." John writes and said it, "These things I write unto you to sin not, but if any man sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." God made it real to me that day. If you walk with God, you can tell Him anything. We made preparation and we went by Ralph's Jubilee. And I think, if I remember correctly, my mama went, and so we left the older children there with her. It might have been her mom as well. I can't remember who was there. But Regina and I and Avery drove all the way to Victoria, Texas, because we named Avery after William Avery Rogers. And he come and dedicated him to the Lord there in Florida where we lived. When we got to where they were, it's a huge, massive church or whatever, and wherever they had Brother Avery's body laying, we went in there, quite a few people in there, if I remember correctly. I saw a little small lady, I'd never met her, but she was standing right by the casket. I knew immediately that was Ms. Rogers. And as we walked down and walked up to the casket, she turned around and looked at me and she said, "You're Brother Billy and Regina, and this is little Avery." I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "Come stand here by him. Can you sense his spirit?" I said, "Ms. Rogers, I love him to death. I just love that man of God. He's been such a blessing to me." And I put my arms around her. We were weeping. And I said, "Ms. Rogers, if there's anything in the world you need, if I can do anything to help you," I never will forget what she said. She looked up at me and she said, "Brother Billy, I don't need a thing in the world but a closer walk with Jesus." And I'm going to tell you right now, you don't need a thing in the world but a closer walk with Jesus this morning. Would you stand with your heads bowed and your eyes are closed? Enoch walked with God. The God of Enoch is a God with whom you can walk. He's a God with whom you can talk and commune. He's a God who will protect you. He is a God who will empower you. And he's a God who will deliver you from the wrath to come if you'll but trust him. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for letting us be here this morning. And I pray the Holy Ghost of God will speak to hearts now, that men and women, boys and girls here in the building and in the internet audience would do now what they'd be glad for all eternity they've done. I pray, God, that they'll trust in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I pray, God, they trust in the God of Adam and the God of Enoch. And Lord, I pray if they do not know you, that they believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, it's your business to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I pray, God, you do that now. Draw folk by your grace. Help somebody, boy or girl, man or woman, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ here in the building, in the media audience. And some, our Father, who like those disciples who followed afar off, are following you, but they're following you at a distance. I pray, God, that we'd get nothing, that where we have nothing between our soul and the Savior, that we might walk with you daily. God, help us now. Now, friends, while we are praying, after his boy was born, after Methuselah, that's when it said that Enoch walked with God. It seems something about the birth of Methuselah and God speaking to his heart that caused him to walk close to God. I just rejoice every time I see all these children in the building. But I want to challenge moms and dads, if for no other reason, and there are many reasons why you'll live for God and walk with God, but those children, you ought to get in church, stay in church, love the Bible, for your children's sake. For your children's sake. Get them close to God. You walk with God yourself and get them in a place where they can worship God. They're going to need it. They're going to need it. And they need him. I'm wondering this morning if there are Christians in the building. God spoke to your heart. You know you're not walking as close as you were. Your life's not dictated by him. By the way, the word walk indicates a progressive, continual motion. He lived 300 years after his boy was born, and 24/7, he walked with God for 300 years. Consistency. Oh, I hope you'll be faithful to him in the good times and the bad times, sunshine and rain. Walk with him. You can trust him. You can trust him in the times of plenty. You can trust Him in the drought. He was going to take care of you. But if you're here this morning, you never trusted Christ. Maybe you're here and you've been praying about a church home. And you know this is where God wants you. Every step of faith will strengthen you. And God's pleased with your step of faith. It pleases Him. Heavenly Father, speak now to hearts and I'll thank you. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, we're going to have a song. Brother LaVon, if you will, just sing a verse to a song. I invite you to come now. Christians always lead the way. I invite you to come. Gather around this old-fashioned altar. Let's do business with God. You'll not be the first. We already have some around the altar. As He sings, I invite you to come. I'll meet you at the front. If you're not saved, sure, we'd love to see you saved today. Just obey Him right now while He speaks to your heart. Come join these that are coming.